Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 1 through 5. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O, let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. All stanzas of Psalter 368.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis chapter 15. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, it behooves us to humble ourselves before Thee, the Most High God of the heavens and of the earth. Give such a humility to lie in our hearts as we attempt to approach unto Thee. For there is no man clean, and there is not one of us that is able to approach Thee in ourselves, because Thou art holy, and we are sinful creatures, and it cannot be otherwise that in ourselves we are loathsome in Thy sight. Lord, wilt Thou look upon us in and through him who has that right to come before Thee, that is, in and through Thine only begotten Son, in whom Thou art so well pleased. And He has come into this world. He has given Himself in order that He may return unto Thee again, and then not by Himself, but to return unto Thee with His people, with His church, and that He may bring them again into that fellowship with Thee that was lost in their deep fall. Lord, wilt Thou so look upon us in and through Him in this morning hour? And when we approach unto Thee, that we may feel that we may experience that it can only be because of the merits of thy only begotten Son. Oh, then we will loathe ourselves and in dust and humility before thee, that it may be the place of young and old in this morning hour, a place that we cannot give ourselves, Lord, a place that must be given unto us by thy Holy Spirit. Otherwise we presume, otherwise we come boldly into thy presence, even as a Uzziah, to touch the most holy things. Then we are only worthy to be sent forth leprous. Lord, remember each and every one of us. Oh, that we may learn to beseech thee in the name of thine only begotten Son, that he may become necessary unto us, when we may see our own pollution and our own filth and all of our own guilt, that he may become precious unto us, and that he may become our all and in all, that we may need him, that he may also reveal himself to our soul. Lord, there is not one of us that can do without this blessing, young or old alike, and yet we travel by nature so unconcerned, and so full of all carnal and vain things. We are of the earth, earthy, Lord, and we have nothing by nature of that which thou gavest unto thy servant Abraham, when he did seek a city that had foundations, when he lived a life of separation in this world. Oh, convert us unto thee for the first or by renewal. Oh, take our hearts, and wilt thou lead and guide us into all thy truth, that truth concerning our own selves and what our state and condition is before the true and the holy living God. Because of our deep fall in our father Adam, the truth concerning thyself, what thy holy justice is, and that it cannot look over a single sin, that we may see that outside of thy Son that we are so lost, and that we are fit for that everlasting condemnation. O Lord, glorify thy dear Son in the heart of each and every one of us. O that he may be experienced in our life as a Savior, as a mediator between God and our soul, that we could not do without him, and that thou thyself may be glorified in the application of that mediatorial work to our own souls. Also remember each and every one of thy people, thou who hast called them by their name, and thou who saidst already in eternity, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Then it is a people that have to experience what thy wrath and thy indignation is against sin. Lord, may thou remember each one when the Holy Spirit will uncover them more and more, then it cannot but be that the flesh will become so discouraged, because it will become for thy church an impossibility. Lord, then many will be the sorrows and the disappointments when their expectation was to serve thee and to love thee. with all their heart and all their might and all their strength. Many will they experience their falls to be, and that they must write death upon all that is from their own sight. Lord, it is no easy way for their flesh, but it is a way that goes through the sea. And thou leadest through the mighty waters, and thy paths, they are not known unto them. Oh, wilt thou bring them into that holy despair of all that is from their own sight, that thou may also reveal thyself in thy own time, and that they may be given that beginning of that blessed rejoicing, and that will extend to that never-ending eternity, when thou wilt give them to experience, and that thou art a physician for those who are sick, and that thou art the opener of the prison for those who lie therein because of their own sin, and that thou art the Redeemer, that thou art the Savior, that thou art the mediator of thy church. O Lord, glorify thyself. That is not our work. That is thy own work in the humbling of man and in the glorifying of thyself. And Lord, when it is that we have been in thy house of prayer our whole life long, and we have heard of that way wherein thou leadest all thy people, but we are still strangers of that way. Oh, could it please thee in this morning to work that miracle that we know that we stand in need of? Oh, that it may become the experience of many in the midst of us in this day. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for the working of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would not leave us be, to go in that way that our natural heart chooses, but wilt thou become too strong for us, and may thou take us for thine own account, and may thou lead us through that straight gate and upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Remember our youth and our children. Wilt thou instruct them in that school of free and sovereign grace? Oh, that thou may become their teacher. They hope to begin again in the day of tomorrow, go to school once more for a new year. But Lord, oh, that thou would enter their name into that school of free and sovereign grace, a people who are taught not in the mere intellect, but a people who are taught in the experience, a people who advance not, but who must learn to decrease, and who become not more intelligent, but have need more and more of wisdom. Lord, oh, instruct in this mysterious way. Wilt thou look upon all that have needs in this world because of all the sin that we have brought herein? Remember widows, widowers, and orphans in all their cares, needs, loneliness, and concerns, and all those that are handicapped, deaf, blind, and dumb, and all those that suffer from serious diseases, and those that bear crosses which can be so heavy. Lord, thou knowest what thou doest, but may it not be only to testify against us, but may it be for our welfare,
May it be to bring us in the place where thou require us to come, and to look upon all those that bring thy word in this thy holy day again. Lord, thou knowest who are thine, and thou knowest those who are sent by thee. Could it please thee to send more servants into thy vineyard when the harvest is so great? But wilt thou also undergird, and those of all thy helpless servants from their own sight? Lord, thou didst promise to go with them, even unto the end of the world. Oh, we lay this before thee, even in this morning hour again. Take away our own wisdom and give the wisdom which descends from above. Take away all that is of ourself, and wilt thou give an indispensable blessing, O Lord, that thou may give it in the preaching of freedom and liberty. May thou give it especially in the hearing. Oh, that we may receive ears to hear and hearts to understand, and that thou would be present by thy Spirit to work that great miracle that we look upon to thee for Sabbath after Sabbath day. The miracle of the new birth. The miracle of bringing life from the dead. The miracle that thou hast shown thyself capable of when thou camest here upon this world. Lord, we beseech it of thee, that thou may do it for thy own great and holy name's sake, because there will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, we ask it of thee, Lord. Take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy and forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 8. And 15, in vision to his saints, God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. We make the following announcement. This coming Saturday, August 30th, the Lord willing, an evening will be held for young people who are studying or begin their studies at a college or university. Two short topics will be held by Reverend Zonneveld and Bruce Alleman about what it means to study in a non-Christian environment. And there will be ample opportunity for questions and discussion. The gathering, which will be held in the basement of the church in Lethbridge, will begin at 7:30 p.m. and is open for all interested young people belonging to our churches in southern Alberta. Psalter 243, 1, 6, 7, and 8, and 15.
And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Who congregation is speaking? That is once again Abram. And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto the Lord. Last week, we heard a very similar question that also came out of that heart of Abram. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And then we have heard that it was not out of a mere unbelief. No, but that there was a need, that there was a living need that was dwelling in that heart of Abram. Then he could not do without the Lord. And Abram could not do without a mediator. How is that congregation now with us? Have we also considered, when we have left that house of God, how it is with our own soul, and whether we also have such a need born within us? And now we hear a similar question that is not about his seed. No, we read it is about the inheritance that was promised unto him. How does this question come about? Well, that question actually comes about from the Lord himself. The Lord continued to speak here with Abram in this vision. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And the Lord knows what he is now going to do. He is going to give to Abram a further blessing. That is, as the Lord Jesus said, boys and girls, to him that hath, even more shall be given. You say, Abram, he has already received a great blessing from the Lord. That is true. And now Abram does not know it. But he is going to receive here a further blessing. And the Lord, as it were, he provokes this question in the heart of Abram, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? It is again not just out of a mere unbelief. The Lord converses very familiarly with Abram. He converses as a man with his friend. And the Lord gives that freedom to Abram that he may lay all his needs and all his cares and concerns before the face of the Lord. Calvin says, and that this question is rather a proof of his faith than of his unbelief. Oh, we know what was in the heart of that father of that lunatic. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And thus it was also in the heart of Abram. And now in these verses following, then we are going to read about the conversation of the Lord with Abram. And that the Lord communicates something very special unto Abram. And there are actually a number of things that are included in these coming verses, really all together. And thus we wish, with the help of the Lord in this morning, but also next week and maybe also the following week, to consider these verses together. Because in these verses then we see something of the certainty and that Abram will receive this inheritance. We see how that the Lord shows to Abram also the time when that inheritance is going to be received. We see also that the Lord shows him how, the manner in which that inheritance will be received. And thus we wish to consider these several aspects, beginning today with the certainty that this inheritance shall be received. And our text for this purpose can be found in Genesis 15, in the 18th verse, the first part. Genesis 15, verse 18a, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given this land. So far, the words of our text. The covenant of the Lord with Abram. First, what kind of covenant this was. Second, the symbolism of this covenant. And third, the comfort contained in this covenant. The covenant of the Lord with Abram. First, what kind of covenant this was. Second, the symbolism of this covenant. And third, the comfort contained in this covenant. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. This is not the first time in the Bible that we read about a covenant and that the Lord makes a covenant. In Genesis 6 already, and in Genesis 9, and then we may read about the covenant that the Lord made with Noah. But these covenants are not something that is very easy for us to understand. And why not? Well, children, you hope after a month or so to begin again catechism, and then also it will be spoken about the covenants. And then you will learn that there are two covenants. That there is a covenant of works and that there is a covenant of grace. So then, what are these? What is then that covenant that God made with Noah? What is then that covenant that God made with here Abram? Well, then we must make a distinction. Because when our fathers speak in our catechisms about two covenants, that is indeed what we read also in the Word of God, that there are two covenants. And then it is speaking about the covenants that have to do with the eternal state of man. Thus, that is the primary purpose that the Lord has given us His Word, His revelation. And thus, these are the two covenants that are brought into the foreground, that are most commonly spoken of by us, because our purpose, that is to speak about that which is for our eternal welfare. But we also read about other covenants in the Word of God. We mentioned God's covenant with Noah. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Moses writes about God's covenant at Sinai. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Read about God's covenant with Phinehas. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. And so we can go on, that the Lord mentions these covenants that he makes with men. And here, this covenant with Abram. Some of these covenants have little to do with those covenants that have to do with our eternal welfare. When we think, for example, of that covenant that God made with Noah, when he came out of that ark, then he made a covenant concerning this world, that seed time and harvest and day and night and summer and winter, those would not cease. Thus, the Lord made a covenant concerning common grace. And yet others of these covenants that we read, they are very closely connected with that covenant of grace. Yet they are not that covenant of grace in themselves. Thus, that covenant that the Lord made with Phinehas, we read it, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, and that covenant of peace, these are so intimately connected to that covenant of grace. So that is also here, when we read about the covenant that the Lord did make with his servant Abram. No, it is not the covenant of grace in and of itself. And yet it is very closely connected to this covenant. Every covenant must have parties. It must have two or more parties. Why? Because of the nature of what a covenant is, a covenant being an agreement between two parties. Thus, there must be parties. And then in a covenant, there are commonly requirements or conditions that must be fulfilled in this agreement. But then there are also rewards, or then there is a promise also connected to those conditions in that covenant. Sometimes, however, we read that the requirements, they are missing. Thus, in an agreement where there are no requirements, the requirements are missing, then what do we have? Then we have only the promise. Thus, a covenant in that sense, then it will be an assurance, then it will be a promise. So that is here when we read about that covenant that God made with Noah, that God made an immutable, he made an unchangeable promise from his own side, that did not depend on anything from the side of man, nothing from that side of Noah. Thus, it was a covenant without conditions, a covenant that was only a promise. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Thus, when the Lord gave this covenant to Noah, then he gave him a sign of that covenant. And that sign that is brought into the foreground, because that sign will be an assurance for Noah and for his posterity, that the Lord is going to keep his word, that the Lord is going to keep his covenant. Sometimes the word covenant, that is simply used for an unbreakable ordinance. Jeremiah, the prophet, the Lord speaks through him, and the Lord speaks about breaking his covenant with the day and with the night. Thus, it is not an actual agreement with the day and with the night, but the Lord uses the word covenant to show that it is an unbreakable establishment from his own side, and that he will continue it forever. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Thus, what kind of a covenant is this covenant with Abram? That is not one and the same with the covenant of grace. How do we know this? Well, the parties in this covenant are different. In the covenant of grace, and then there is an agreement between the parties within the Trinity. That is an agreement, a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. That is not so here. This is a covenant that the Lord makes not with his only begotten Son, but with his adopted son, with his son Abram. Thus, it is not the same as the covenant of grace, and yet so very closely connected to it. And why? Well, we see that for Abram there are no requirements. Thus, this is a covenant that comes only from that side of the Lord. And not only so, but what is the substance of this covenant? Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Children, is that just merely the land of Canaan? No. That seed that he looked for was more than a natural seed. That was a spiritual seed. That was a mediator. And that inheritance that Abram is looking for, Paul writes of it in the New Testament, that he seeks another country. That he was not seeking merely the land of Canaan in this world. Thus, the substance of this covenant that has to do with an eternal inheritance that is not only then for Abram, but that is concerning the entire church of God, even to the last day in this world. Thus, what does this covenant actually amount to? When it is a covenant that has no requirements from the side of Abram, then it is amounting to a promise from the side of the Lord. And what is that promise? That is the promise that he will apply that covenant of grace also unto Abram and unto his seed. Thus, what a covenant. Thus, what a jealousy is lying in the heart of the people of the Lord. When the Lord swears unto Abram that he and his seed, they shall receive the application of the merits of that coming mediator. Oh, how condescending is the Lord God when he will come. He will descend from heaven, as it were, and he will make a covenant. He will make an agreement with man in this world. So it took place in paradise. So he made a covenant with Adam. That was the covenant of works. But we can understand that somewhat because Adam was in that time in the state of rectitude. But to whom does the Lord here descend?
And this is to a man who is a fallen son of Adam.
Thus, how is that possible?
How is that possible that that holy and that righteous God would descend to have a dealing with a man who is a sinful man?
We heard of that last week. We heard of the foundation. We heard how it is possible that the Lord would come unto Abram. How is that possible?
Well, we heard that the Lord has imputed it unto Abram for righteousness. Thus, Abram has received by that true and living faith the imputation of that righteousness, which is so pure in the sight of God that he is now able to come and to make a covenant with a fallen son of Adam. Thus, the Lord cannot do it when we lie for our own account, but the Lord is able to do it when we lie for the account of his only begotten Son in the same day. The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given this land.
In what form, in what shape did this covenant take place? That is our second thought, the symbolism of this covenant. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. It was customary when men in that time would form a covenant with one another that they would have a kind of ceremony. And then they would take an animal and they would split that animal, they would cut it, they would hew that animal in half. And they would lay those pieces one over against another on the ground. That is why, in a literal way, then it says that the Lord cut a covenant with Abram. And thus we also get our expression commonly that a man that men will cut a deal. Then it comes from this practice. And thus, the two parts of this animal, and they are laid over against one another. And those two parts, and they are a representation of these two parties that are covenanting together. And then, what do they do in this ceremony? Then both of those parties, they will walk together between these two parts of this slain animal. And that has a meaning. When they walk together, they walk there in unison. Then there is a unity that is between these two men. Then they covenant together. It is just as if by walking together through these two parts, that these two halves of this animal, they are coming together again to form one whole. That is even further, that those two persons that are covenanting together, and that they say, as it were, if I do not keep my side of this covenant, if I do not do what my conditions are, if I do not keep my side of that promise,
then I must be made as into this slain animal. Then I must be hewn in pieces, even as this animal has been hewn in pieces. We read about this method of covenanting also in the book of Jeremiah, and the Lord, he comes with his complaint against his own people because they have covenanted with him and they have broken that covenant. I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof, the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life. And their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And then the Lord says, when you have broken your side of the covenant, you shall be even as those slain animals. And I will give you to be fed unto the beasts in this world. Thus, this method of covenanting, the Lord comes to Abram with in this vision. This portion of the scriptures is not very easy. And why not? Well, this is a method of covenanting, and this method of covenanting that may be used here by the Lord. But at the same time, the Lord is bringing in several other aspects into this vision, into this picture. Thus, he makes, as it were, a new application. And one of those applications we want to wait with until next time, the Lord willing, that concerns the words which the Lord is speaking here unto Abram. And today we wish only to speak about the fact that the Lord is covenanting with Abram. But there is still just one thing that we cannot hear pass by. This method of covenanting, although the animal was slain, was not in and of itself a sacrifice. And yet, there is something very peculiar to notice here in the choice of those animals that the Lord has commanded Abram to take for this covenant. What do we read? That he is commanded to take a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, all 3 years old, and also a turtle dove and a young pigeon. All of those animals, except for the birds, they are slain in half, and those two birds, they are put one over against another. But all of these animals, if we go further along in the Word of God, and we see what were those animals that the Lord has put aside in the Mosaic dispensation for the use of sacrificing, then it was that every one of these animals was one of those animals that the Lord set aside to be a propitiatory sacrifice. That was, of course, after the time of Abram. And thus, Abram may not have understood all of this. And yet, there is also a picture here for that church of all ages. Because when it is sacrificial animals that are here being laid as the parts in this covenanting, then we see the foundation by which the Lord can only make a covenant with man. That it is that foundation of the propitiatory sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And outside of the slaying of His own Son, which the slaying of these animals would represent for His entire church, it is only through this propitiatory sacrifice that the Lord may speak unto, that the Lord may have dealings with His own people. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Moses records that the Lord says that He will make Himself known to His prophets in a vision, and that He will speak unto them in a dream. Well, here we have actually a combination of these two things. Because Abram has been in a vision. That vision has been for a full day now. That vision has begun already that evening before. And now in the midst of this vision, the Lord is casting Abram into a deep sleep. That is a supernatural slumber. Read that elsewhere in the Holy Word of God. And then Abram, we read, he is surrounded also by a supernatural darkness. Thus the sun is going down, yes. But that darkness that begins to surround Abram, that is not a darkness just because of natural causes. No, we read, it is an horror of great darkness. We read in the Word of God that that is the place where God dwells. That the Lord is dwelling in the thick darkness. That speaks something about the secrecy of all of the dealings of the Lord. The secrecy of the Lord Himself. No man can look upon Him and live. Now we read that Abram, he is in this vision and in this dream, he is brought nigh, he is brought so close unto God. He is brought into that solemn presence of that Most High God. And what does he experience when he is in that presence of God? He experiences a great dread. He experiences something of the holiness and of the dread majesty of that Lord of hosts. And it is in this dreadful place that the Lord God, He is going to reveal His secret unto His servant. It is in this horror of a great darkness that the Lord is going to transact a covenant with His servant. And it is in this place that His servant is going to receive a blessed comfort from the Lord. That is after we sing Psalter 425, stanzas 5 and 6. Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds He will not sever. The word of grace which He commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham He doth uphold. 5 and 6 of Psalter 425.
And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. What is that? That is actually the Lord Himself. The Lord here Himself appears unto Abram in the midst of this thick darkness as a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. In the Orient, then a furnace that had the shape of a cylindrical fire pot. This is what Abram sees here in this darkness. And he sees smoke emanating out of this furnace. But now in the midst of that smoke, then he sees, as it were, a burning lamp. Thus he sees light in the midst of all that darkness. That is an emblem of the presence of the Lord. And as the Lord appears unto Abram, then at the same time the Lord is showing unto Abram something of who He is Himself. Later, we know that the Lord is going to reveal Himself unto His people in the smoke and in the fire that is on Mount Horeb. Later, we know that He will reveal Himself as a pillar of fire and of a cloud. Thus, the Lord represents two sides. The Lord represents His justice and His mercy. Even more, the Lord represents His mercy in the midst of His justice. Abram may see light in the midst of all of that smoke of that furnace. Thus the Lord is descending unto Abram in that thick darkness. And what takes place? And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. What is that now? Oh, children, now you also can tell what is happening here. This is nothing less than the ratification. It is nothing less than the completion of a covenant. It is a transaction. And Abram understands this. Who can fathom this? God, that most high God, who is condescending to transact this covenant with Abram. And what kind of covenant is this? Oh, that is for the greater comfort of this servant of the Lord. Do you know what the Lord does not do? The Lord does not say to Abram, as He said before to Abram, go out of thy tent and look up unto heaven. The Lord does not say to Abram, arise and walk with me through these pieces. But what does Abram see? Abram see that the Lord, He goes all alone. In the midst, and He passes through these pieces. Thus, what kind of a covenant is this? This is a one-sided covenant. That is a covenant wherein Abram must promise nothing. That is a covenant which is completely from the side of the Lord. God himself condescends to pass through those pieces. Thus, God himself, he takes an oath of a covenant upon himself. And God himself bears the full responsibility also for Abram's side of this covenant. Thus, what does it amount to? It is a covenant without requirements. What does it amount to? It amounts to a blessed assurance from the side of the Lord that the Lord is going to fulfill that promise that he has promised unto Abram. That is not a new promise. No, the Lord has brought Abram back to where that he has come from. He says, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why? To give this land, thee this land to inherit it. Oh, it is the Lord himself who has instigated this question of Abram, Lord God. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Why? Because the Lord is going here to swear unto Abram. The Lord is going to swear by a covenant oath. The Lord is going to give him a sign. The Lord is going to give him a token of the certainty of the fulfillment of his promise. What is that covenant? Is that then the covenant of grace? No. In that covenant, the Lord has also sworn. He has sworn concerning his only begotten Son. Then there was a mutual swearing in that covenant within the Trinity itself. But what happens here? Here God swears to his child. He swears to his child concerning the application of that covenant of grace. Who can fathom it? Abram says, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Do you know what the Lord then says? He says, Abram, I swear to it. Despite all the impossibilities from your sight, whereby shall you know that you shall inherit it, Abram? If I keep not my promise, then I am to be made as these animals that you have hewn in pieces. That is an impossibility, Abram. That I do not keep my word. Because then I would not be God myself. And then I would be, as it were, annihilated. My promise, Abram, my word that stands firm in my being, it stands firm in my very existence. People of the Lord, there is nothing so sure as the word of the Lord. Though mountains stand in your way, even as they stood in that way of Abram. Or what is the greatest mountain that stands in your way? You say the greatest obstacle is me, myself. Why? Because I cannot keep my part. That is my daily experience. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, sin. And the longer that I live, the greater that impossibility becomes. Why? Because sin that is only increasing. Oh, if I could only but believe now that word that the Lord had spoken to me already years ago.
That word which I may then in those moments believe. That word in which I did rejoice. But how many times do I not have to say also with this Abram, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Soon, the Lord willing, then we hope to commemorate once again at the Holy Supper of the Lord in our midst. And what is in that Holy Supper? There are the signs. There are there the tokens that the Lord is laying before His people. The tokens of His own covenant. Then He is doing in that supper the same as He has done here unto the Father of the faithful. Because the Lord knows the weakness of those for whom that wonder that is too great for them to receive it. And thus what will He say to the people? He says, I swear it unto you on the basis of the propitiatory suffering of my only begotten Son. Oh, there that people they may behold Him in His mercy in the midst of His justice. There they may behold Him in that slain land. There they may behold Him as a light in the darkness. As that burning lamp in the midst of that smoking furnace. And what may they experience then? Then they may experience that it is a one-sided covenant. Or what can be of more comfort for that distressed church of God, for whom it becomes ever more an impossibility, that the Lord takes over all the responsibility that is on their own side. A responsibility in which they would have perished in themselves because they cannot fulfill it? Or is it not, congregation, a blessed people of the Lord? And is it not a certainty that is laid already in eternity, from eternity to eternity, in that blessed being and existence of the Almighty God? Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? That is now the question that is so often lying within the heart of that true church of God. Congregation, does it also lie in our heart? Was that ever our question? Do we presume upon the word of the Lord? Perhaps. That has never been revealed personally to our own soul. In our own soul's need, do we still try to maintain ourselves with a self-wrought faith, with a stolen word out of the Scriptures? Do we continue to condemn God's true people because they cannot believe and because they require those tokens, those signs continually from the Lord? It is not enough that it is written in the Word of God. That inheritance that is not given to everyone of that visible church of God. Abram's concern, that is the concern of that true church of God. And what kind of a concern is that? That is a personal concern. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Oh, may that concern also be ours, so that we may also receive that same confirmation from the side of the Lord. Congregation, may we have no concern at all. Oh, what shall that be for Abram, that was a child of the Lord, that was the friend of God, we read. And Abram came into the presence of the Lord. And it was to Abram a horror, of great darkness. What shall it then be to us? What shall it be to enter into that horror of great darkness? There to see a smoking furnace, but no burning lamp. That is an outer darkness. That is a darkness wherein man will weep. And he will gnash his teeth, we read in the Word of God. God will be there with his presence. Say that it is a separation from God. Yes. But he will be there in that horror of great darkness. He will be there in his justice. He will be there in his wrath without his mercy. Oh, how awful a darkness that shall be. That will be a darkness that shall be felt. Oh, that we may be given ears to hear. David said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Is that our desire? Have we a little jealousy of that blessed man with whom the Lord made covenant already in this world? That is still taking place. And that will take place to the last day of this world. That will take place until the last one that is gathered into that kingdom of God. Oh, let us then not let the Lord go, except that he would bless us also. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us, oh, give us that holy jealousy that we may be drawn, because it is a serious matter to have a soul, and we are traveling to an eternal horror of great darkness by nature. Lord, that is the end of that broad way, a way in which we seek all the pleasures of this time, only to leave it all behind and to end in that horrible pit. Oh, look upon us, Lord, and wilt thou take us by heart and by hand? Wilt thou bless thy word? Remember thy people. Be with us. Further in this day, bring us together with desire and need felt in our hearts in this afternoon hour. Give us help from above. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 415 stanzas 6 and 7. Who is he that fears Jehovah? Walking with him day by day, God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. Then at ease his soul shall rest in Jehovah, still confiding. E'en his children shall be blessed,
safely in the land abiding, 6 and 7 of 415. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.